Good morning. We're going to do things a little differently than what we usually do. We're trying to figure out what works best for us. So here we are. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to come and worship. We're thankful, Lord, for your love and your mercy. We're thankful, Lord, for the gift of eternal life that is found in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Open our hearts and our minds for what you have for us this day, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start out like this. My name is Pastor Kenny. We are the Family Worship Center, Church of God here in Grass Lake, and I walked away from the mic because I'm used to having my mic around my face. So I'm sorry for that. Yes. We're doing this like I told you. I've got my notes here so I don't forget anything. Remember to move up and move out, and we're doing that so that would there be more room for as people come in. I'm going to ask that you take in your worship folder, you got a worship card or a prayer card, pardon me, a prayer card. You can fill that out, and the kids will be by in a little bit to pick those up. Jesus said, my house should be a house of prayer. And we are a praying people. Where is God's house now? Don't you dare point at this building. Right there. That's right. Right here. And when we gather together, we become that place where God resides. He resides in our heart, but he's here amongst us. So we need to remember that we are to be a house of prayer. On the 29th of this month, the last Sunday of the month, I'm going to start teaching a Sunday school class, let's call it, or a class after church. We're going to wait for about a half hour so we can all visit and talk and eat, and then we'll go back to the back, and I'll have a class. It's going to be on, the first one's going to be about sin. We're going to, what is sin? Why do we believe that this way? Apologetics is what we're going to do. Why you believe what you believe. So if you're interested in that, you'll need your Bible and then, or your phone, because I know a lot of you have your phones or your Bibles. We'll meet in the back room after class, or for class, after fellowship. Jamie? Good morning. Wow, that was really good. Everybody's awake this morning. I made extra strong coffee because I made it. I like it so when you stick your spoon in it, it goes tink. It's the way it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to be able to see through coffee. Mindy and I were traveling here a couple weeks ago, and we went up to the Smoky Mountains, and we decided we would walk up to Clingman's Dome. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's a hike up. We started out at the bottom, and there were people that looked up that trail and said, nope. And it just keeps going. We met people coming down that encouraged us, that told us, you know, it's only a little bit further, you can make it. We saw people that were younger than us that made me feel so much better, that were sitting along the side saying, nope, I'm done. Halfway up the hill, three quarters of the way. We saw people that were just done. They just said, we're not going any further. This is good enough. Good enough. And then we saw the people that got to the top and achieved the goal, that made it to where they were supposed to be. And it was beautiful up there. And if you ever get the chance, I really encourage you to do that. But you have to continue along the path. That's the whole point, right? We have to continue to reach where we're going. You got to continue doing it. Last week, we talked about Jesus being God's Son, the second of the Trinity, and about how the Apostle Philip asking to see the Father, right? He said, show us the Father. And Jesus said that having seen him, they had seen the Father. Jesus is fully God, fully man, right? He bore our sins on the cross. He was the perfect human being. What we're saying here is that God died for you, right? He paid the penalty you should have, and he set you free from the debt you could never pay. The one you could never pay. If you would open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and I meant to tell you to do that earlier, and you know me. We're going to start at verse 15. Colossians 1, starting at verse 15. He, Jesus, correct? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh, by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If, indeed, you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. And I'm going to stop there. We're going to work our way down through that a little bit at a time. But we need to deal with some things, right, as we go along here. I don't want to just skip over a whole bunch of scripture and jump right to where we're going. But we need to understand that there are cults out there that do not believe that Jesus is God. They believe that he is the first created thing. But that is not what it says here. Jesus is the firstborn, not first created. Superiority, first, I looked up the word about firstborn, right? Superiority, first, before. But the grammar of this also indicates that Jesus is the head, the beginning of all things. Remember what it said in John chapter 1, verse 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is preeminent, right? He is superior. He is. It says that in there three or four times. He is before all things. He is the head. He is the beginning. He is. Not he was. Not he will be. He is. Which goes right back to I am. Right? He is. I am. We need to understand that. He is here. He is now. He is for you. He is. At the Passover, it was the firstborn who were to die, or who did die. Firstborn of the cattle, firstborn of all of it. Right? That was one of the plagues, we'll call them, that God sent against Egypt. Unless the blood of the lamb was sprinkled or put over the doorposts to cover so that the angel of the Lord, the angel of death, would pass over the Israelites. God asked Abraham for his firstborn son of Sarah. Jesus was the firstborn son of Mary, born of the Spirit. God came into the world at that point. That to me is fascinating. That's awesome. You know why he came here? To pay the penalty for our sins, right? And the Word became flesh. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14, just a little bit down from all those other ones. In Philippians 2, we read about Jesus. Though He was in the form of God, He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Took on flesh. Jesus is not just another creation. He is the creator of all things. Everything exists because He made it. Everything. You see all those people over there? They were created by God. He made them. And they did too. Same thing. Okay. Just so we're all on the... And you people quit switching sides because you confused me. I'm easily confused. He's not an angel or anything else of this world, for by Him all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. And here's the thing that we really need to understand, okay? It was all created for Him. You were created for Christ, for God. And yet, when we were created, I should say, we were given all this world to use as our own. Now, we were created differently from the rest of the world. God breathed life into us, formed us from the dust. Everything else He spoke into existence. He formed us, and then He gave us the world. He put us in the garden, and He did it all out of love. I want you to understand that. He loved us, so He made a place for us. Or He made a place for us because He loved us, and then He made us in the right order of things. His creation. You and I. Right? Get that. Then, as I said, we were placed in the garden, and we were given responsibility to work it and tend it. Right? So we have responsibility to keep it, as it says. The only thing we were not to touch that was not ours, we took and did what we were told not to do. And mankind fell. And we were kicked out of our place. No one knows how long Adam and Eve were in the garden. I mean, when you read it, it makes like it sound God created them, then they fell. But we don't know the time that it took. And I have a theory, Kenny. Okay? I believe it was long enough that they started to take for granted what they were given. And when Mindy and I were out west, we were in a town called Ouray. Beautiful town. I'm sorry?
Can you spell that?
No, I cannot. It starts with an O, and then it's Ouray. So there you go. The O silent. But it's in one street that goes up, and then there's a $1 million highway, which we won't even discuss that because that's nothing but white knuckles for the rest of the road. But we were sitting there in town on the porch eating this beautiful pulled pork sandwich. I digress. But as I sat there and we were eating and talking, you watch people go up and down the street. And you could tell the people who had lived there a long time. They never looked up. Beautiful mountain down between the valleys, snow-capped, steep, beautiful hillsides on both sides, waterfalls that you could see from town. And this is how they walked. And everybody else is going, you could tell us tourists. It was beautiful. They took for granted what was around them. The beauty of God's creation. And in doing this and getting ready, I was thinking to myself, the Israelites had a pillar of fire at night and a cloud, pillar of cloud of smoke during the daytime.
and lightning and thunder, and when it moved, they moved with it, right? When he moved, they moved with it. And yet, they sinned, they grumbled, they griped. He fed them, he took care of them, water from the rock, you name the miracles, right? And I think after a while, they just took it for granted. And that's why they did all the things that they did. They just didn't get it. How many of us take for granted the things we have in Christ? Disregard what has been given to us and are drifting away from where we need to be as Christians in this life. I want you to understand, I don't think for one second that any of us are willfully unfaithful and disobedient. I don't think we wake up one morning and say, you know, I'm going to be just do it my way. Or I'm just not going to do what God said to do. Or I'm going to do what he said not to do. But I do believe that we can often take it for granted and start to drift. That we can move away from where we're called to be. And again, I believe this was part of the problem they were experiencing in Colossae. They were looking for more than what they needed and what they already had. And they had it all in Christ. He loves us so much that he came here, walked as a man, died on the cross, and rose on the third day to reconcile to himself his own creation. Wow. Us. You and I and every other human being on this planet has the opportunity to come to Christ and receive the forgiveness he offers. His own creation he had to redeem. He did all that in order to present you holy and blameless, a saint of the living God who is above reproach. You were his creation, we, speaking of mankind, then having sinned and gone our own way, having been separated from God by sin, he made a way for you and I to be reconciled, redeemed, and raised to new life in Jesus Christ. Awesome. You, as a Christian, are a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Verse 22 here. Let's read what it says. He has now reconciled in his body of the flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Verse 22. Your translations may say it a little differently. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Right? That's Ephesians 2:10. God has a plan for everyone here, for each and every one of us. How did Steve just tell us that, basically? He was preaching my sermon, I was letting him. He has a plan. He's gifted us, he's given us abilities, he's given us life for a reason, for a reason. A purpose for our existence. All we have to do is to continue on in the faith. Stable and steadfast, not shifting, drifting, all right? From the hope of the gospel that we have heard, which is and has been proclaimed, and to which each of us is called to minister. It's not just Paul that was called to minister to it. It's us in different ways. Go therefore and make disciples. Go into all creation and preach the gospel. Right? Matthew, then Mark. We have a purpose. You are not here just to fill a chair and hold it down, because believe me, it's not going to float away. We have a purpose for a reason, and a reason to be here. You cannot be sidetracked You cannot deviate. You don't need anything other than Jesus the Christ. That's all we need. There is no one and nothing better. Jesus said, "It is finished." It is finished. Amen? Amen. Amen. Then why do we need to add anything else to it? If the debt's been paid and we're given new life, now the new life, we're called to live it according to the gospel, according to the word, for Christ, not for ourselves, because we were created for God, for Him. That's why we're here, is to, now we need to tell everybody else. God's made a way. He wants you to be a part of His family. He wants you to be His. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter if you're the whatever. Everything was created by Him and for Him, and He wants you back. If we drift too far or shift to a different gospel, then we are no longer following Christ. And we are not continuing in the faith. That "if" word is huge. Two letters, but it has a lot of meaning. That's a fork in the road. If, you have to choose. We always see the positive side. Well, if I'm doing this, then I'm great. But what if you're not? Right? We need to look at those things. Romans 11:22 tells us that we will be cut off if we do not continue in His kindness. We snub our noses at Him, whatever, right? When I read that, or when I read that, I instantly thought of what Jesus said in John 15. If anyone does not abide in Me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. Ouch. Am I abiding in the branch? Am I continuing on in the faith? The Dead Sea. Water flows from the Jordan. All of the Jordan River flows into the Dead Sea. But nothing comes out of it. It's stagnant. That's why it's dead. We can't be stagnant. We don't want to become dead. We need to wake up. Jesus said, "Apart from Me, you can do nothing." John 15. Don't remember the exact verse. I want you to look at your Bibles, or if you're not, just follow along if you don't have yours with you. And I want to look at verses. I'm going to just tell you. Verse 19 tells us about, "For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." That's God with us, right? I've been telling you, God with us. "And through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross." He's for us. And then 21, "And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds," and you who were, past tense, "He has now reconciled in the body of flesh by His death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach." Are you saved? Do you know right there's the words all you need? I am now reconciled. I am now redeemed. I am now sanctified because Jesus Christ said so. He is the author of my salvation. He is all I need in this world, and He gives me all I need to accomplish His will here. He's everything. Past and present and future, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. Plain and simple. Three verses. Past, present, and future. You need to understand that your faith is tied to your salvation. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. No faith, no salvation. So we need to continue in the faith. And that's my question. Are you continuing in the faith, stable and steadfast? Or has a shift taken place and you find that you have drifted from the hope of the gospel? Again, I keep telling us, and believe me, it's us, because when there's a finger, there's three right back at me. Examine ourselves. See where we're at. Have we drifted? Here's the better part. Have I grown from where I was a year ago? Or am I still the same lousy person I was with a bad temper and, oh, there's a squirrel. That's me. And I will tell you that I had a temper that it was unbelievable. Come home, kick the dog, yell at the kids, the whole nine yards from work. I used to work at a mobile home factory production. I'm so thankful for God taking a lot of that away from me, and then he let me clean up the rest of it. He does that, you know. I've got you on the right track. Now stay there. I had a half-hour drive to get home. Praise the Lord. And Larry Burkett, if you've never ever heard of Larry, he talked to me the whole way home about finances. And then I'd hear somebody else talk about other things. And then I would listen to the radio and how much God loved me. How much he loves us. Then it changed me. But I had to put forth some effort. It wasn't just, it was gone. Though he does that with a lot of things. I want you to understand that no one can snatch you out of God's hand. But there's a catch. No one can snatch any of my sheep. Are you of his flock? Are you one of his, or have you gone astray? You see, his sheep believe, and believing is putting into action the knowledge we received, right? Are you believing? Is it ongoing? His sheep hear his voice. You've seen the word Shema up there, the Shema of Israel. That's the word there is hear. Shema, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, right? In the New Testament, it's Greek, and the word is akouo. I'm probably killing that, but there's as close as I could get. It means more than to listen or hear. You're not just hearing it. You're putting it into action. If we're told the sheep hear my voice and follow me because they know him, so they're going to do what he says. They're not going to follow him. He says come and they don't come. That's not listening. That's not, you're hearing it with your ear, but it's not putting it into action. Verse, this is from John 10, by the way, and that's verse 27. His sheep hear his voice. He knows them and they follow him. They are a part of the plan, doing as they were created to do, following Christ in this world. If you have gone astray, though, if you have gone astray, he will leave the 99 and seek you out. But we can be a very stubborn sheep. There's a word for you. Where's my English teacher? There you are. Sheep. Like deers. Sheep. Deer. We have to be very careful of where we're at. We cannot ever lose our faith. We cannot, we must not, but we can drift. We can put our faith in things that are not of God. That's what they were doing. They were putting in their faith in Jesus plus, or maybe even beyond that. Where have we placed our faith? Where is our priorities? What are we actually following in this world? We can't be following a different gospel. This is what was going on in Colossae. They were starting to drift, and Paul was trying to bring them back. He wanted them to understand that all they needed was Jesus. He was sufficient for everything. You need to continue in the faith you have and not to go after other things. Are you continuing in the faith? Have you drifted? If you have, it's time to make a course correction. It's time to get back on track. Listen to his voice. The siren call of the world can lead us astray, can make us stumble, and can lead us to fall if we're not careful. But if we listen to the truth, truth, capital T, if we listen to the truth, if we heed his voice, then nothing can harm us. No one can snatch you out of his hand. All we need is Jesus Christ. Jesus only. He is the faithful, true God. Stand on his faithfulness and his love for you. That's where we need to stand, plain and simple. But we need to continue in that. It can't stop. So this morning, I'm going to close. Now you can all go like this. If this morning you find that you've drifted or you're not exactly sure where you're at, then come and pray. And if you're worried that someone will think, hey, well, wow, that's about time they got up and prayed or whatever in your mind, I'll give you an out. Prayer cards are still up here. Come and get one. Pray over that. Pray if you have a praise. Be thankful. Count your blessings. Continue in the faith. Would you stand as we go to the Lord and the praise team comes up? Father, we are truly grateful for your mercies and grace. We're thankful, Lord, for the gift of eternal life. We're thankful, Lord, that we are saved, that you tell us, Lord, that we are saved. We're thankful, Lord, for you. For everything we need is found in you, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this morning in your name. Amen. As you go through your week, all you need is Jesus. Just turn to him. Feeling down, turn to Jesus. Need help, turn to Jesus. And he'll lead you to where you need to go. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we are truly grateful for your love, that we're made new creations, that we are given new life, and you have blessed us so abundantly. We're thankful, Lord, for the time of fellowship we're about to partake in and for the food. We just give you praise for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. I would invite you all to stay. If you're a guest here today, there's plenty. Please stay and have fellowship with us. Yes? In case you didn't hear that, I'm going to have Chinese. Thank you. So stay for some cake and snacks, and then we're going to get out of here to go eat.